Chapter 2. As Agnes closed the door to the timid young lady, she sighed. Why did Mr. Blandford have to die so unexpectedly? The household had been a perfect blend of residents. Young Gilbert in the attics might be odd and unsociable, but he always paid his rent on time and did any little jobs she asked without complaint. Perhaps he could be persuaded to leave his silly photographs and trays of nasty chemicals for an afternoon and listen to Mr. Gorski's ramblings. Much like herself, and anyone over 50, she conceded, the old man had a propensity to look backwards, to talk about the good times and rue the bad, whereas the young looked forward and anticipated brighter days ahead. It's what made the household work, the optimism of youth and the wisdom of the old. Even Jemima, down in the basements, whose life was an endless stream of dirty napkins, meal preparations and cleaning, was forever engaging the other residents in lively discussion, spurred on by her husband's firm belief that a social revolution was on its way. It broke Agnes's heart that number 23 was no longer a family home. Her father had been a respectable man of business, with a portfolio of investments and a moderate income, but ill health had plagued his final years, and his sharp mind had dulled. Persuaded to put money into unwise commercial ventures, their finances had dwindled to almost nothing. After his death, she was bequeathed the house, but very little income, and was forced to make economies in order to remain. Partly her need for money, and partly her genuine altruism, the post-war housing shortage gave her the idea to rent out the rooms. She couldn't bear to leave a lifetime of memories and move somewhere smaller, and so compromised by sharing it. Initially, she only rented out the basement, as it was fairly self-contained, but was eventually forced to give each of the first, second, and third stories their own door and rent them out too. And everything had been just dandy, until poor Mr. Blandford had unexpectedly succumbed to sepsis. Off to the Mad Hatter one night for a drink and merry chatter with some friends, dead by nightfall of the next. All the more shocking for the speed in which it took the dear man. And now that she'd interviewed the three most promising applicants, Agnes Humphreys had to make a decision. She wandered into the front room and desperately wished she had the wisdom of King Solomon, although sometimes she wondered if she had any wisdom at all. Gilbert was forever berating her for being too trusting, especially when peddlers turned up on the doorstep, offering things for sale that she didn't think she needed, but was made to believe she did. And yet, deciding who to give the rooms to felt just as momentous as Solomon deciding the fate of a child. If only she could cut the metaphorical baby in two. Well, three. Clara, her niece, was family, and that had to mean something. "Aunt Ag, how could you not tell me you had rooms going?" she'd said, as she theatrically kissed her aunt's cheek and collapsed into one of the high-backed armchairs. Her long legs seemed to stretch out forever, and Agnes tried not to tut at her shocking hemline. "Mummy is keen on me coming here, and Daddy is being so terribly unreasonable. It's awfully tiresome living out of a suitcase, but I simply must be in the city. Rural life bores me, and London has it all. The culture, the nightlife, the freedoms. Oh, and the cocktails. Daddy wouldn't know highball if it bounced in front of him." The truth was, as Agnes found out when she received a letter from her sister the following day, that Clara had been thrown out of the family home and was currently staying goodness knows where and sleeping on the chaise longue of goodness knows who. Daphne, however, had been frustratingly vague on detail. She'd merely hinted at a bedroom scandal and informed Agnes that her husband, after years of tolerating the increasingly unacceptable behaviour of his wayward daughter, had finally snapped. But Agnes, even though she loved Clara with every fibre of her being, knew that her niece was trouble. She suspected Mr. Gorski would be horrified should the young woman start entertaining gentlemen in the rooms above, never mind displaying her calves and strutting about like one of those movie stars, which Clara did have a tendency to do, by allowing her private...